Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, September 22nd, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How are you doing today? You sound chipper?
Well, you know, I'm busy and buzzing around getting ready for the big old tropical storm heading our way that's about due to hit at any moment. So,
yeah, I heard about that. We're supposed to get a little bit of cloudiness from it, I think, over here in West Virginia, but nothing at all, just like you're going to get maybe.
Well, it looks like we're going to get hit pretty good. And the thing is, it looks like that when I saw the cone of the storm, it looks like it's going up through the Chesapeake. And the problem, that's a big problem, because what happens there is there's no place for the water to go.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So there will be lots of, you know, if it comes up from the south, you know, it can go out to the ocean and, you know, it has places to go. But when it's coming up directly up through the Chesapeake, it's going to be nasty for those folks.
Yeah, I mean, they're right at sea level.
Mm. I mean,
it's going to come right in on them, no doubt. Gee.
So the Chesapeake, yeah, you know, so... Leave, wait, and see what happens.
So you're far enough, you think, away from that that won't affect you a whole lot.
I hope so. Well, the thing of it is, we were only supposed to get like 2 inches. No big deal. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, up to 5 and 6, and the winds are stronger. And now we're, you know, there's even the mention of hurricane weather.
Oh, wow.
You know, so... But they said, but we weren't, and the problem with hurricanes, lots of times, yes, the water, but they spawn so many tornadoes.
Right, right.
And that's the, you know, really the damaging, you know, that just adds to. But they don't, I haven't heard anything about possible tornadoes, so that's a good thing.
It'll pass you up, what, pretty quickly? Well, I mean, because it's moving up pretty fast, isn't it?
It's going up. It's going to be here through Sunday to Sunday.
Oh, really? That long? Going to stay there? Okay.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully they're wrong.
Mm.
Hopefully they're wrong. But so I'll just sleep with my life preserver. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to gold today. Hey, gold's not paying any attention to that stronger dollar. It's kind of ignoring that. So we had an update today, $5. Actually, earlier it was up 10. Right now we're looking at $1,926. Silver was up 15 cents at $23.63. Platinum was up 8, 937, with palladium down 11 at 1,288. The USDX today is up 0.20 at 105.59. And crude oil is back over 90, up 74 cents at 90.37. 90.37. So we had the Dow sliding 100 points today, 106 to be exact, at 33,963. The S&P was down 10, 4,320. And NASDAQ was down 12 at 13,211. So the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ posted the worst week since March. So let's go ahead and see what Europe did. Well, you know, okay, here we are. FTSE was the only positive one. Everything else was negative, but, you know, Britain, you know, just by a couple points, so no big deal. Nikkei was down 168. 10-year yield, 4.43, so that's off its high of yesterday. And let's see what natural gas is, higher by almost 1.5% at 2.64. So, you know, it's Friday. It's, you know, no one's really paying a whole bunch of information or paying any attention to information that's going out there. I know we're going to talk about the strike and, you know, the so forth of with the auto manufacturers. So, Butch, I'm just going to let you start.
Okay, I can do that. But I do want to get some war news. Some of this is from last week. Some of it's brand new, and I want to share it because I think go ahead.
The new stuff is incredible.
Yeah. It is, and it's and you can see the progression. That's why I wanted to get a couple from last week too to tie in. So you can see the steps increasing in that direction. And folks, I don't like to say this, and I pray to goodness we're all wrong on this, but I do seriously believe that anything could happen any day. I mean, this saber rattling and encroach on other people's territories is going to come to a head one time soon, sometime soon, and somebody's going to get hurt. A lot of somebody's going to get hurt. North Korea's Kim Jong-un promises Putin full support for Russia's sacred fight. President Vladimir Putin welcomed North Korea leader Kim Jong-un to Russia this week, or of course last week now. Kim offered support for what he called, according to a provided official translation, a sacred fight against hegemonic forces, but what type of support will be offered is not yet clear. North Korea Kim Jong-un vowed support for Russia's sacred fight during a summit with President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday that the U.S. warned could lead to a deal to supply ammunition for Moscow's war in Ukraine. After touring launch pads with Putin at a remote space base in Russia's Far East, Kim expressed full and unconditional support and said Pyongyang will always stand with Moscow on the anti-imperialist front. The leaders met at Voskhodny Cosmodrome for a summit that underscores how their interests are aligning in face of their country's separate, intensifying confrontation with the United States. The talks, not the folks, he said, intensifying confrontations. That's let that sink in, intensifying almost a daily basis. The talks wrapped after just about 5 hours, Russian state media reported. North Korea may have tens of millions of aging artillery shells and rockets based on Soviet designs that could give a huge boost to the Russian army in Ukraine, analysts say. Okay. We can see now that Russia, of course, is not fighting alone. It never has been. But their allies are getting bolder and speaking louder, and sticking in the nose of the U.S. And folks, I can't blame them for that. We've done it for so long; they're getting fed up with it. We, us, U.S., NATO, encouraged the war with Ukraine, and using Ukraine as cannon fodder against Russia. I don't think anybody has any sense sees that now. Russia says a war, the U.S. is at war against us. Moscow's top diplomat said Washington is controlling Ukraine to wage war against Russia. Now, that is obviously the truth, and anyone who has, or that wants to see the truth can see that. This is not something that that we can claim any kind of righteous claim, righteous cause for. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov blasted U.S. for waging a proxy war in Ukraine. The Washington-led North Atlantic Alliance has transferred nearly $100 billion in military aid to Kyiv, Lavrov said. Lavrov said the White House was controlling Ukraine's military decisions. On Sunday morning at the Eastern Economic Forum, the Russian diplomat explained Moscow's position. No matter what it says, the U.S. controls this war. It supplies weapons, munitions, intelligence information, data from satellites. It's pursuing a war against us, Lavrov said. According to Kiel Institute, the U.S. and its allies have transferred slightly over $100 billion in weapons to Ukraine since the start of the war. Additionally, the West has trained thousands of Ukrainian soldiers and provided Kyiv with other military support, such as targeting and intelligence. Lavrov said the proxy war the West is waging against Russia and Ukraine was a long-planned effort aimed at Moscow's strategic defense, or defeat, I'm sorry, defeat. He stated, while what is going on is that Ukraine has been prepared, has long been prepared for inflicting strategic defeat to Russia using its hands and its bodies. So what boils down to, again, is the U.S. doesn't mind sacrificing Ukrainians. And obviously, Zelensky doesn't mind sacrificing Ukrainians either. This is a, again, a proxy war. And I don't like to think about these things no more than you do. But it doesn't take away the fact that it's happening as we speak. Next article is titled, they are openly admitting. They are openly admitting that we are on the brink of the final war. Folks, this just, we can, and it's, we all do it. It's something that just being normal people do. We try to shove this out of our mind and say, well, they'll figure something out. This won't be this bad. This won't happen. Well, according to prophecy, it's going to happen for sure. This may not be the time. I'm not saying it's time at all, but it's going to happen. Most Americans have absolutely no idea how close we are to the unthinkable. Even though leaders all over the globe have developed a really bad case of war fever, the vast majority of us here in the United States are entirely convinced that everything will be okay somehow. Most of us believe the talking heads on television when they assure us that our politicians have everything under control and that it's extremely unlikely that a nuclear conflict will happen. But on the other side of the globe, they see things very differently. On Tuesday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky told the United Nations that the world is being pushed to the brink of the final war. Now, as I read this, I understand these are leaders of nations all over the world expressing their opinion and maybe some sincere concern. The chilling remarks by the Ukrainian president were aimed at countries that have been ambivalent about whose side they're on since the conflict began February 2022, and nations that were with him in the beginning but have pulled back on their support. Russian invasion of his country is pushing the world to the final war, the Ukrainian president told world leaders attending an annual gathering in New York. For once, I actually agree with Zelensky, this author said, and by the way, so do I. We're literally on the verge of an apocalyptic global conflict in which billions of people could die. And so we need to find a way out while we still can. And folks, maybe there's some people in the leadership of the world that don't want a way out. Maybe they want the billions wiped out. They want public control anyway. But this type of war, if it goes to nuclear war, there'll be nothing left to rebuild. Not in many, many lifetimes. But anyway. But during his speech, Zelensky made it abundantly clear, that he has absolutely no intention of ever negotiating with Vladimir Putin. Without providing any details, Zelensky hinted at the United Nations at an alleged effort by some individuals to broker a secret peace deal with Putin. I'm aware of some attempts to make some shady dealings behind the scenes. Evil cannot be trusted. asked Prigozhin if one bets on Putin's promises. The Russians also believe that we are rapidly approaching a point of no return. On Sunday, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov publicly stated that the U.S. is conducting a war against Russia. Russia's massive campaign to support Ukraine with arms amounts to a war against Russia, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has said, adding that the U.S. has long groomed Kyiv for this very purpose. According to the minister, these deliberations will not change the fact that for many years Ukraine has been groomed to fight with its hands and bodies in order to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia. Lavrov has accused the U.S. of controlling the hostilities between Kyiv and Moscow. Most Americans will not say that we are at war with Russia at this moment. But over in Russia, they view things very differently. There is constant talk on Russia's television about how the U.S. and Russia are now locked in an existential conflict, which will only have one eventual winner. Needless to say, the Russians do not plan on losing. Wow. Mel, are you with me?
I am. I'm listening. I mean,
is that kind of what we're looking for? Dramatic? I mean, is that pretty pointed and right to? To make this information even more that they're saying that the Russian people know we're at war, and then it's going to escalate. I mean, we don't hear about that on news here, do we?
No, we don't. I mean, and you know, you made a point that where the people here don't understand or care what's going on. You know, so many of them believe that, you know, we're fighting Putin for, you know, democracy for Ukraine. It's so far from the truth. And, you know, in a country as corrupt as Ukraine was and is, there is no such thing as a democracy. And so, well, maybe that is what the new democracies are becoming, corrupted nations, who knows. But anyway, it is sad because anytime you mention Ukraine to anybody, it's always, oh, those poor people. And it's true, oh, those poor people. But you got to look past those poor people and see what is really being done to Ukraine and why is it being done and where we're headed because of this. And, you know, you have China that is, you know, moving more and more things over to Taiwan. This is a coordinated effort between Russia and China to be doing this all at the same time. So, no, I don't have any good feelings toward Putin. Did I say Biden? I meant Putin if I said Biden.
Well, both. I'll agree with both that way. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I have no warm feelings, for Putin. You think in today's world there's better ways to accomplish things. But and Putin and China, I believe, you know, this is all orchestrated and coordinated for Taiwan. And it is scary. And but, you know, again, though, Butch, I hear people saying, well, Russia's going to drop a bomb on D.C. this weekend. It's like, come on, folks.
No.
Come on. Wake up. Quit.
Well,
you know,
yeah, that does
possible, but absolutely not probable. You know, we got the storm to worry about. So
that just doesn't. No, that's the people are not spread rumors like that. But yeah, Russia or China.
But they do.
They do.
And it scares people.
Sure it does. And then when it doesn't happen, people go back to sleep and say, oh, I'll forget
they do.
It. Yeah.
I'll just forget it. So
the China has more ships on Taiwan now than they ever had.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And, you know, with Zelensky here, he's getting more cluster bombs during his visit with our good old illustrious leader. And listen to this. This is the Pentagon exempts Ukraine operations from government shutdown. So if they can't come to a deal and they shut down our government, guess what? Little old Ukraine still gets all their little bonuses. Now that should really make people ticked off. Ticks me off. So you tell me why this isn't calming down. And what is the concern that if the government shuts down, why would we have to continue with Ukraine operations? Why would that be exempt? unless maybe they're anticipating something ramping up, and this is their way of making sure the funds are available.
Well, they can always cut back on us, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Are we done with the war?
No, I got one more. One more short one. But it's a biggie. It's a biggie. Now, this is title, I think, used a number that's probably going to be way low. But anyway, war with Russia to massacre 50,000 Americans every 2 weeks, when forced conscription of young Americans now inevitable, warns U.S. War College. Let me repeat that now, folks. It's important. War with Russia to massacre 50,000 Americans every 2 weeks. Now, that's not my opinion, not Mel's opinion, not a right-wing writer somewhere. It says, with forced conscription of young Americans now inevitable, warns U.S. Army War College. That title should get your attention, shouldn't it, Melody?
It should.
In the autumn issue of the U.S. Army's War College Perimeters, a quarterly published referred form that furthers the professional development of senior military officers on national security affairs, a call to action on a possible war with Russia that will kill about 50,000 Americans was presented. It pointed out that the massive loss of service members will also trigger conscription to fill the ranks. The War College is a U.S. Army educational institution in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on the 500-acre campus of the historic Carlisle Barracks, which provides graduate-level instruction to tenured military officers and civilians, prepare them for leadership assignments and responsibilities. So again, I didn't make this up, and this is nothing come out of any type of, we'll say, radical group at all. The U.S. Army War College said Americans could massacre 50,000 American. I mean, the war threat could massacre 50,000 Americans every 2 weeks, and that would mean that the conscription is inevitable, and I think it is anyway. They can't get enough people going in the military. The military is falling apart. It's become, I hate to use the word woke, but it's become woke and sick and perverted. And a lot of people that are in any type of moral character just refuse to serve. And we are in deep doo-doo, folks. If our military is nothing like it was even 20 years ago. Nothing like it was. And it's been corrupted longer than I've been alive. But it's gotten much, much worse. So that from the War College in Pennsylvania saying it's inevitable, I think we need to pay attention. What do you think, Melody?
I agree. And it's sad that we have to hear commitments or not commitments, but statements. And it just doesn't seem no one cares.
Well, that's a big one.
Everybody acknowledges there's acknowledgments that that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. But when was the last time you heard of any open communication between Russia and Ukraine?
Well, Zelensky said he wouldn't even talk to him, so there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So
really arrogant.
And Putin was interviewed. I don't know who he was interviewed by not too long. I don't know if you said it or whatever. But, you know, Putin basically said, yeah, there is a way to end this war.
Yes.
So.
Yes, he did.
So.
And it wasn't unreasonable either, was it?
No. No.
Not by any means. But
it's what they want. And hey, as I said the other day, they already have the Clinton Foundation and others lined up waiting. Even our education department is there waiting to go in and make money. It's disgusting. See if the Clinton Foundation does as good of a job as they did with Haiti.
poor Haiti. But yes,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, sad. Beyond sad. But the powers that be that want to war have won the war for many, many decades, generations now, and they've got them. Well, we can name names. And we know we go back a long ways, long before you and I were really on the scene. Clear back to World War II, we know that Roosevelt knew about Pearl Harbor being bombed before it happened. He's the one that called all the ships in so they could be bombed. Now, all this is history, folks. I'm making this up. They won some World War II. We didn't want to go in, and Roosevelt promised we would. So he had this happen to get us in the mood for war. I was just thinking today, but right after 9/11, walking in a store somewhere, I came across one of those little I call them knick-knack stores, where they sell, you know, odds and ends, different things, just scattered through the store. And everybody looking for little American flags to buy. They didn't have any. Just hold out of them. I thought, you know, they had a terrorist attack, supposedly, which, you know, was another farce, on the towers. And everybody wanted to buy an American flag. Everybody all of a sudden was patriotic. They wanted to go get those guys. Well, same thing with Pearl Harbor. Same thing in Gulf of Tonka. And right on from there, lied and lied and lied to get the people riled up enough to go to war. Will we fall for that again? Yes, we will. I don't like to think about that, but we will. I have grandsons now and granddaughters that are fighting age. When they start conscripting men, they're going to start going to women next, folks. It's coming. Mark it down. It may not happen this week, next week, or next year. I don't know when, but it's coming. Any comments, Melody?
No.
Anyway, on to some, if you watch the world news lately, they're showing hundreds and thousands of illegals walking across the river in Texas. You've seen that, Melody, right?
I have.
And one guy was saying his three-year-old son fell off and drowned, and I really, really hate that. That's such a tragedy. But he was coming across to break the law. Folks, I feel for these people. Most of them, I'm sure, are probably decent people. But they're destroying the country. We are being invaded from the north and basically from the south, but the north also now. And we know now that Biden is going to give 500,000 of them the right to stay here. This is what's happening to this country, folks. They're undermining this nation's, the nation's culture. They're doing it on purpose. Well, a developer builds a 60-square-mile illegal alien colony in Texas. 60 square miles, Melody. They're coming to America. Yesterday, Zero Hedge reported on the freight train of illegal immigrants or migrants headed to America's southern border. You can see a video of those train riding migrants. And I seen that. I saw that.
We talked about it on Wednesday.
We did. Where are those migrants going after they get here? Some surely will be headed toward America's major cities, forcing Democratic mayors to eat more of their own open borders advocacy dog food. But some are likely headed to a place called Colony Ridge, an enormous settlement 40 miles outside of Houston that's reportedly home to tens of thousands of illegal aliens. That this illegal alien ant colony is right under the nose of Texas Governor Abbott raises questions about how serious Governor Abbott's tough talk about securing a state's part of the border really is. And I've commented on many times, Abbott doesn't want to stop the border crossings or to have his state guard on there until the feds take a hike or go to war. It's up to them. But they're not going to do that. It's not going to happen. My goodness, folks. Texas could be sovereign among, it could feed itself if they wanted to and got the federal feds out of it. But it's not going to happen. Reporter Spencer Lindquist of the Daily Wire wrote an eye-opening thread about Colony Ridge on X with X yesterday. Now, folks, this you have to look it up. Colony Ridge, 60 square miles full of illegals in Texas, right outside of Houston. And Governor Abbott is saying nothing. That should prove to you just how what kind of governor he is when it comes to taking care of his own state. Melanie, I think it's a very fair statement, don't you?
Well, he's done some.
Oh, he's done some. He put up boys, and the feds told him to take them down.
He also put up barbed wire, and the feds came in and ripped it down.
Yep. I think it's time for the state of Texas and the rest of them too, but state of Texas, to tell them, don't do it again. We will defend our borders from you also. I know that sounds like tough talk, but if I were the governor, I would tell them, you don't do this in our state. Our people want these people out of here, and they're out of here. We'll ship them north to you, we'll ship them back south, but they're not going to stay here. Now, that to me, that's what I would do, but that's just me. Well, I know, I'm an old hillbilly. Any more comments?
Well, again, you know what? And you know what? It shows exactly how little power some of these heads of state and the heads of D.C. have, because they just, I don't, you know, they, you know, their hands are tied to some degree, I think.
Well, they are, but let's just put it like it is. A lot of them just don't care. They talk
a lot of them
people,
just don't,
they don't
care.
They don't care. According to New York Times, Colombia is going to send 1 million more global migrants next year. 1 million more economic migrants from around the world will exit Colombia for the United States in 2024, says the leftist president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro. Colombia will not interfere with the huge flow out of Colombia across Panama's Darien Gap through Mexico and up to the U.S. border, Petro told the New York Times. The answer to this crisis, he said, was not to go chasing migrants at the border or to force them into concentration camps that blocked them from trying to reach the United States. I would say, yes, I'll help, but not like you think. Mr. Petro said of the agreement with the Biden administration, which was big on ambition but thin on details. He said any solution to the issue and had to focus on solving migrant social problems, which should not come from Colombia but come from the United States. Wait a minute now. They want to solve the migrant social problems? Why do I have to solve somebody else's social problems? What?
Because we care.
Oh, I have enough trouble taking care of my own.
I know.
But he said, the social problems which do not come from Colombia, but come from the United States. How is it my fault they're having social problems in Colombia? Expect 500,000 people to cross the Darien this year, he said, and then 1 million next year, up from 250,000 migrants in 2022. So we got to solve the social problems, and it's our fault because they had the social problems. Now, if Mr. Petro would be willing to explain to me what that means, I'd like to talk to him. I don't understand how that's my problem or my fault. Melly, what do you think?
Well, you know, well, it isn't. But I mean, it's, you know, we just like anything, we go into these countries, you know, and we don't do anything to help them. You know, supposedly we went into Colombia to clean up the drug trade and so forth, see how that's working out. And so, yeah, we didn't help those countries.
We take the resources.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really amazed, though, that this guy would have enough gall, I guess, or nerve to say, we got to solve their problems, and it's the U.S.'s fault.
Yeah.
I really didn't realize I had much influence in Colombia. Did you?
U.S. had a lot of influence in Colombia.
I'm talking about you and I, citizens.
Well, no, but I mean, it's...
I mean, I can see what would be the government's fault of this country. But you're dumping those people on me and you and the rest of the country. I mean, and we do know that for sure Biden's paying some of these $2,200 bucks a month to be here, which is a way more than I make Social Security, and I work 45 years to get it better. So it's turned out to be that I end up paying for this, you end up paying for this, and we had nothing to do with it. Except that we tolerate it. Maybe that's bad enough, I reckon. Any comments on that?
No, sir.
They welcome illegal immigrants with open arms. Now sanctuary cities say they're past the breaking point. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Mayors from New York, Chicago, and other large cities are struggling with resources, blaming Texas. As illegal immigrants move in en masse. It's Texas' fault. It's just all Texas. I mean, Texas is the one letting them in. Texas is the one that's paying them to come across the border. Texas support them. Yeah, it's Texas' fault. Okay. Prior to being elected mayor of New York City in 2021, Eric Adams' campaign posted on Twitter how now known as X, we should protect our immigrants, period. Yes, New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration. Well, darling, why are you crying about then? We're just helping you fulfill your dream. Less than 2 years later, now Mayor Adams is suggesting the influx of illegal immigrants will destroy New York City. Tough nookie, that's all I can say. Let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this, he said. This issue will destroy New York City. He said this was September 6th during a town hall meeting on the Upper Side, West Side. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican, began busing illegal immigrants to several large U.S. cities, known as sanctuary cities, beginning on April 2022, to alleviate border cities in the state. Well, if the sanctuary cities, he bust them there, what's the problem? They said send them. What are you whining about?
I know.
And although only a fraction of illegal immigrants arriving in New York City are arriving on Mr. Abbott's buses, Mr. Adams has called the program morally bankrupt. Now, wait a minute. You warned them. Gee. The jurisdiction is dubbed a sanctuary because it has enacted policies that shield illegal immigrants, including criminals, from federal immigration authorities and deportation, including criminals. The city Mr. Abbott chose as his busing program recipients are among the 10 largest sanctuary cities in the United States, according to the Federation for American Immigration Reform. As of September 8th, Mr. Abbott's office reported that it had bused more than 11,300 illegal immigrants to Washington since April 2022, more than 13,500 in New York City, and more than 7,000 in Chicago since August 2022, and more than 2,600 in Philadelphia since November 2022. Well, you all warned them, and all Mr. Abbott's doing is trying to fulfill your dreams. Why are you crying about? What are you whining about? Melody, I know that's tough talk, but it's just a fact. It's just a fact. They warned them, shut up.
Well, you know, it's just, and also, it's not just the, it's these cities all across the country are whining. And they're putting them in places and putting them on, you know, in airports, putting them here, putting them there.
They warned them.
And then you have states where now they can vote, you know, like you have states that they can apply for driver's license, so they have a driver's license. Now they'll automatically be registered to vote. Can't even speak English, but I mean, it's just...
It's America, you bet.
I hear music.
I do, too.
And that's America today. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Next.
All right.
It's Friday.
We're going to a different topic. It's Friday, and you're goofing off already. I'm not going to say anything yet, I tell you what. Dollar General to grow private truck fleet to 2,000 trucks by year's end, and good for them. I'll tell you why they're doing it. Growing its private fleet is part of Dollar General's overhaul strategy to reduce cost and gain more operational control of its supply chain by expanding its distribution network and relying less on third-party carriers. Good for them. That's sound business sense. Owen told analysts, that's ahead of it, that the company saves about 20% in associated cost each time it replaces a third-party tractor with one from its own fleet. That's huge. The company has steadily grown its private fleet since its launch in 2016. The company aimed to reach 2,000 or more tractors by 2024 and was operating more than 1,700 tractors during quarter one, more than double what it was a prior year. So good for Dollar General. Save 20% for every truck they get on operating cost. Good for them. And control their own supply chain. Melanie, that is good business sense. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds that way.
You know, we'll see what happens with the long run. But, I mean, Dollar General is still, we have a new one built here, I think, last summer in our little town, Nettie. We also have Family Dollar. They're kind of in competition. Dollar General is a bigger and, we'll say, nicer store, but I prefer Family Dollar because it's all compact. But anyway, be that as it may, that's a wise move. Mm-hmm. And the business that's trying to make it by handling things right and keeping the service up and prices down, I say I'm all for that. What do you think?
I agree.
Okay. Well, golly, she agrees. But it
is
Friday.
I know. It's Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Iconic Seattle Fish Market closes amid surging crime and homelessness. Boy, how many times have you heard this so far, this year alone? In a sad reflection of the times, Seattle's iconic Mutual Fish Market is bidding farewell after 77 illustrious years, a closure driven by unsettling increase in crime and a persistent issue of homelessness. Mutual Fish has been a beacon in the Seattle seafood scene. Its pioneering spirit inspired generations of professional chefs and home cooks. As Eater, Seattle highlighted, yet its door will forever shut this month. Operator Henry Yoshimura's decision, though abrupt, is rooted in deep concerns. Describing the volatile environment, Yoshimura stated, there's more homeless people around and things like that. People getting shot up in the street up here. He lamented over the grim developments in the vicinity, particularly violent crimes victimizing Asian Americans in the South Seattle residents. Beacon Hill is real bad now, he remarked. Backing his concern, the Seattle Police Department recently reported multiple home invasions-style robberies aimed at Asian families in the area. They believe a group of 3 to 7 young black men responsible for 14 incidents since June. Well, you know, 77 years of business, and they got shut because the community fell apart. Morally, folks, and economically, they tie together. It fell apart. That is sad, Melody.
It really is sad.
You know, it's just to watch this whole nation, and especially it seemed like a lot of these, what we'll call them, blue cities and states, literally falling apart. I mean, society's unraveling there. It's everywhere, but it's there. It's really noticeable. It's unraveling, Melody. I mean, you can't run a business and earn a living in a place that's been around, been there for years and years, something desperately wrong is going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just so sad. And we mentioned robots many, many times in this program. Well, guess what? You need to look up online to find what I'm talking about. World's first humanoid robot factory will ship Digits, that's the name of the robots, in 2024. Mm-hmm. Agility Robotics is well into construction of a 70,000 square foot facility in Salem, Oregon, with a capacity to produce more than 10,000 units robots per year of the company's Digit humanoid robot, which will work alongside humans on the factory floor. Now you have to watch that. It's online, folks. You can find this. Just type in Digits, robots, Digits, D-I-G-I-T-S. The new RoboFab manufacturing plant is set to open later this year with customer deliveries expected to begin in 2024 and general market availability to commence in 2025. Agility expects to build hundreds of Digit humanoids in the first year and scale up from there. Agility's COO, Andrea Campbell, compares RoboFab factory to Henry Ford's first manufacturing operation. There was a point in time over 100 years ago, she says, when we had the world's first automobile factory. I think this is the same moment where we're now having the world's first humanoid robot factory, and someday, just like automobiles, humanoid robots will be all around the globe.
Wow.
And it did show them how they worked. I mean, it's weird as you have to look at it. It doesn't look like a person set this upright. but it's something to watch. A guy walks in, gives an order, it processes the order, and fulfills the order. Gee. So they're going to work side-by-side factory workers. Could that mean less jobs in the factory, Mel, do you think?
Gee, Butch, I don't know. Do you think maybe they should tell those people that are striking?
Yeah, really, really. And by the way, what's the latest on the strike? I didn't have a chance to check out that. What is the latest on the strike?
You know what? It was scheduled to do more, but I didn't. You know what? I haven't seen any headlines on that. So, interesting.
It's supposed to be noon today, wasn't it? I think, or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it was.
Something like that. Yeah,
it was noon today. You keep going, and I'll take a peek.
Okay. Folks, to show you how much our culture has been undermined this country, I mean, our culture, our history, whether it's good or bad, it's still our history. It's been destroyed day by day. New York City considering removing statues of George Washington and others. The New York City is considering a measure that would essentially remove statues of founding fathers such as George Washington, all while facing a migrant crisis costing taxpayers billions. According to a list found in New York City Council agenda for Tuesday, September 19th, officials will consider a bill that would require the public design commissions to publish a plan to remove works of art on city property that depict a person who owned enslaved persons or directly benefited economically from slavery, who participated in systematic crimes against indigenous peoples or other crimes against humanity. Let me just make a point here very quickly. Everyone in the United States, everyone who lived here from the 1700s up through the mid-1800s, benefited from slavery. Everyone did. Oh, yes, you did. A lot of the goods they bought back then were made by slaves. Yes, they were, especially the textile industry. So the whole nation benefited. You're going to shut down, what are you going to do, tear down the whole country? Well, basically, it's what you're doing already. Yes, that's what you're doing. Under this criteria, the father of the nation's depictions could get the boot, including the famous statue in Union Square Park. Other statues, including that of Christopher Columbus, would also be subjected to this measure. According to the bill, if the PDC opts not to remove a work of art of an individual who fits the criteria, it would be required to include in the plan steps it will take to install an explanatory plaque next to the work of art. This bill would also require the Department of Transportation to consult with the Department of Education to install plaques on sidewalks or other public places, space adjacent to the schools, and that are named after a person that fits the criteria. A summary of the major ads. My goodness, how much further insane would this nation go, Melody?
Who knows? But it's going to. We will become more and more. It will get more and more insane. And I did follow up on the auto workers. They're expanding the strikes to 38 parts of distribution locations across 20 states for General Motors and Stellantis. Now, you know, it's interesting, though. The union, they're not going to initiate additional strikes at Ford Motor because the company has proven it's serious about reaching a deal. The strikes at the GM and Stellantis parts suppliers will add roughly 5,600 auto workers, including roughly 3,500 employees at GM, and to the UAW's ongoing strikes at the Detroit automakers. So it's adding, another 10,000 almost. That's 20 states.
Wow. And how many people would that affect?
But, you know, because Ford made that deal with Canada, they're not going to strike anymore at Ford. Ford said the company is working diligently with UAW to reach a deal, but we still have significant gaps to close on the key economic issues. In the end, the issues are interconnected and must work within an overall agreement that supports our mutual success. That's what Ford said today. So it's... And they're going to picket all the trucks, And you've got Biden. He's going to be traveling. I just saw a headline. I don't know where that went. Biden, maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. But there was a headline showing that Biden is going to go to Michigan again. But at first he was going to send people. They didn't want him there. Now I saw the headline that Biden was going to go to Michigan to support the workers. And you know what? I know this is a far-out conspiracy, and it's just something to think about. But you know, as big of a push as this administration is on EV vehicles, they're targeting all the truck plants. You've got, you know, and I don't know which is the most popular EV vehicle, if they're imported from somewhere. I don't know, from Japan or China or whatever, Germany. I don't know which, but, and these people, the strikers are only really enhancing these manufacturers to go more EV. When you think about it, it's going to cost them much less money, because not only is it EV, but then they'll all be robotic. And you're right, just as you're mentioning, their history. So people can't see past their nose. Can't see past their nose.
They can't. They really can't. We'll have to wait and see on that. And for the good news article, very quickly, lost Michigan toddler is found asleep in woods using a family dog as a pillow. A two-year-old was found snuggled up in the woods after going missing in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The little girl walked away from her home with her two family dogs on Wednesday evening in Faithorn, Michigan. A toddler was found hours later asleep in the woods using a smaller dog as a pillow, state police told the Associated Press. Michigan State Police troopers from the Iron Mountain Post were called to the child's home in Mimini County around 8 p.m. on September 20th after the girl had reportedly wandered off. Troopers used both drones and police dogs to search for the toddler, the AP reported, while local police and civilians in Michigan and neighboring Wisconsin banded together to look in the woods. It was hard for the dogs to search for her because we had farm animals over here, the girl's mother said. Brooke Chase told WJM in a video interview, but I am still in such shock that she was literally gone a split second. A citizen driving ATV finally found the two-year-old about 3 miles from her home around midnight, the police reported. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Mark Garangio described this story to the AP as really remarkable. She laid down and used one of the dogs as a pillow. The other dog lay right next to her and kept her safe, the lieutenant said. The little girl appeared to be in good health after medical staff checked her out, Garangio said. The town of Faithorn, Michigan, is located about 1.5 miles east of the Menominee River, divides the state of Michigan and Wisconsin. So her dogs basically saved her life. One used her pillow, one curled up to her and protected her and kept an eye on her. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. Amen.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, Melody, it's all yours.
Okay. You know, and we're just about out of time, but I just saw here we're a Kaiser Permanente workers. Mm-hmm. They're threatening to strike if they don't have an agreement by next week, and that's 75,000. And credit card losses are rising at the fastest pace. So it was good to hear that good news story. We'll finish up on these topics on Monday. So be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend. And until Monday, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams,